This is Greg Olson, and I'm thrilled to introduce my new podcast, TE1. TE1 will chronicle a 60-year evolution of the tight end position, from its origins as an obscure, overlooked blocking role to the versatile superstar position that it is today. I'll explore the evolution of the position through conversations with some of the all-time game-changing tight ends. And just like the incredible tight ends we sit down with on my new show, the Chevy Silverado is in a league of its own. This truck is all about grit, strength, and dependability. The same attributes it takes to be a tight end.
Blue Wire.
Cousins. Thielen. He's got it!
Garoppolo over the middle.
Intercepted! Harrison Smith. It's caught!
Welcome in, everybody. Welcome to Bleeding Purple, a podcast about the Minnesota Vikings. I'm your host, Adam Patrick, from thevikingage.com. We are part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network, and we are brought to you by betonline.ag. Once again, I am joined by Eric Strack from minnesotasportsfan.com. And Eric, we are in week one of the 2020 NFL season.
So it's here.
My first it's question. Happening. Yeah, it's here. Thank God. My first question to you is, what is your favorite Vikings week one memory? Or at least a notable one that you can remember, because there's a lot of them.
There's a lot of them. One that sticks out to me, and I think it's just because this was like the first season that I was covering the Vikings with the website, and it was just such a weird year. And it was the Bradford game. Week one comes in, just throwing knives right through the defense. Hits Diggs multiple times with beautiful throws. There's that one going across the field for the touchdown. But then right after that, one of the best games of his career. And we're all thinking, this is the Sam Bradford. Like, this is why we made this trade. And then he gets hurt.
2017.
Yeah. And then he gets hurt, yeah. And then he never starts. Well, he goes and tries against Chicago, and then Case Keenum takes over, and it's all history from there. I'd say that to me in like recent memory is the game that just pops out the most at me for a random question like that.
I'm going to go all the way back to 98 with Randy Moss's debut against the Vikings played the Tampa Bay Bucks to open the season. And I just remember the highlight of him just getting that bobbling catch into the end zone. I think Brad Johnson was the quarterback to start the year for the Vikings that year. So that's just a week one memory that's like cemented in my mind. You also have 2009 when the Vikings played, I think they played the Browns, and Adrian Peterson had like a ridiculous run where he, stiff-armed a Browns player and just threw him to the ground with his hand.
He did that a few times.
Yeah. It's Brett Favre's debut in a Vikings uniform. Percy Harvin, I believe, too, was his first game. But yeah, that 2017 game was fun, too, because that was Dalvin Cook's debut. Adrian Peterson, coming back as a Saint, you know, having the infamous Sean Payton face, of Adrian Peterson just growling at him because Sean Payton wasn't, you know, probably using him like he wanted to. And then Adrian Peterson wasn't a Saint for very long after that.
Yep.
So there's a lot. Who did they play week one last year?
I don't remember what I had for dinner yesterday.
They played the Falcons and they had zero trouble with it. So this year they play the Packers. We'll get into that later. But first, let's get to some news that has to do with the Vikings. Pretty significant, I would say. Maybe not to Mike Zimmer. but the Vikings have officially placed Danielle Hunter on injured reserve, so he will miss at least three games if not more, with his little tweak, which Courtney Cronin has reported, ESPN's Courtney Cronin has reported that the little tweak is apparently a neck injury, so that's always good. But at the same time, I believe NFL Network's Ian Rappaport has also reported that Danielle Hunter is not expected to miss an extended amount of time, and he could be back as soon as the next 3 weeks are over. So there is optimism, but my question to you is, how big of an impact will this have on the Vikings season?
I guess it depends on how long he's out for. I mean, if it ends up only being the 3 games, you know, I guess, and it depends. The question comes into it. Do we go 0-3 in those games, or do we go 2-1? I mean, if we go 2-1 and then he comes back and he's the same Danielle Hunter that he's always been, then no, it ends up being no big deal. But this was really supposed to be no big deal when we first saw him. At one point, I thought it might be contract related. You and I talked about that, just because it was so out of the blue. And so then it just creeps along, and we never expected it to get here, and now here we are. And so, you know, I wrote about it last night. I want to believe the Rappaport report that it's only that they only expect it to last 3 days, but I mean, how he's getting his leaks in this specific case, and he even says that he's getting it from the Vikings. Mm-hmm. So they were the same people who said that it was just a tweak and it wasn't going to last very long and he could be back any day practicing, and now he's on the IR. So how are we supposed to take anything they say seriously at this point? So I'm hopeful that it's not going to affect the season as a whole. But if it goes on, I mean, he's one of our best players. So the longer it goes on, the worse it gets. And then the other question is, do we ever get Dalvin Cook under contract? Because you could say that the Ngakoue trade stopped Dalvin Cook from getting his contract, even though they're still saying that they're working on it. And Dalvin said yesterday he's still hoping it gets done. But at this point, that could affect whether or not Dalvin Cook is getting that money. So there's just, it just spiders very quickly. But as long as the team wins, we, you know, it's kind of the oldest cliche in the books, but winning kind of cures everything. So if Dalvin stays healthy, the Vikings win, then it makes the missing of Danielle Hunter that much less. And if Yannick plays well, if he plays well in Hunter's absence and we're getting pressure on the quarterback and Aaron Rodgers is running for his life, then it won't seem like as big of a deal. But if Rodgers is throwing all over us on Sunday and we can't get a pass rush on him, then, you know, so there's just what it comes down to with this whole thing is we have no idea what is going to happen because we never had preseason games. We never seen an actual practice. Training camp fans didn't get to go to camp this year. So we have no idea what's going to happen is what it comes down to.
No, but it's pretty obvious, I think, after this news that the Vikings made the trade for Yannick Ngakoue because of what Danielle Hunter was dealing with. You know, no matter how little Mike Zimmer felt that, you know, it was going to be, I'm sure trainers told him, like, if he's going to miss time, it's not going to be a lot. So Mike Zimmer's like, oh, it's not that bad. But then they're like, it's a neck injury. And he's like, oh, we should probably find someone, you know, to help us out while Danielle's out. But I think the Vikings should be pretty good. Fede Odenebo, he's supposed to start anyways, so he should be able to fill in pretty well for Danielle Hunter, and they should still have a pretty good pass rush.
Like, we don't know that. That's the thing. Like, based on what we've hoped these guys would eventually become. That's what we're thinking, that we're still going to have a decent pass rush, rush, or we're still going to be decent on defense. But like, because we haven't seen a lot of these guys play or even start in their positions, especially on defense, like losing anybody like Danielle Hunter makes me super nervous. Cause yeah, we hope we can slide Ifadi in there, but what if we can't? What if he can't get that pass rush? What if now they're moving double teams over to Ngakoue and Ifadi can't get past his guy? Now we're in trouble. Like there, it can spiral so quickly with this defense. It's really honestly has me nervous.
You sound like a Minnesota sports fan.
I'm sorry. Our defense is so unproven and we're just assuming so many things that so many things are going to go well, that Shamar Stephan is going to step into the interior of the defensive line and just hold it down without Linval Joseph in there. Like we're just assuming that Ngakoue is going to come in, replace Hunter, and then Ifadi is going to come in on the other side and just, we're not going to lose anything. We're assuming that our brand new secondary outside of our two safeties are just going to take over and be better than Trey Waynes and Xavier Rhodes. Is that possible? Yes, because they weren't that good last year. But is it possible that they're worse? Yes, that is definitely possible too. So like, I feel a lot better once we start talking about our offense. Like there's a lot more known about our offense. We know our offensive line isn't very good. That we knew that last year. But there's a lot of unknowns on the defense, and it just makes me nervous.
Should the Vikings go maybe, not that they really have any money, but go maybe look to free agency and see if there are any defensive ends that they can bring in. There really isn't a lot. There's Ziggy Ansah's out there, Cameron Wake, a couple other guys.
No, I don't think so. I mean, if you believe in Ifadi, then you got to give him his chance. Plus, yeah. I mean, these guys aren't going to know the playbook. And I know that, you know, defensive end isn't necessarily the most difficult position to come in and learn. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, are you going to bring somebody in and just drop them in there and expect them to be better than somebody that like Ifadi Odenigbo that you've been hoping this guy for how many years? Like, this is his chance. If he can't do it now, then he's not going to be able to do it. So, no, at this point, you have what you have. If you're going to find a way to spend some money and you're going to wherever you're going to find it under the couch cushions, I don't know if you're going to, you know, fudge the numbers that you're sending to the NFL about who you're paying people. Like, you know, I don't know how you're going to find that money. But if you do, then you're giving it to Dalvin Cook because like that's who gets the money at this point. I was thinking about it yesterday. I know that I'm going off on a tangent now. But Dalvin Cook should sit in front of the media every single day. If I'm Dalvin Cook, I am every time I see that guy talk, I'm like, we got to pay this guy.
Yeah.
Like, what if this guy gets hurt? Like, are you kidding me? Like, this is the greatest guy ever. Like, I am going to be nervous every time Dalvin Cook touches the ball on Sunday. I'm going to be nervous that he's going to get hurt. And now he's never going to get the money that he deserves. Like, if he and his agent were smart, and I know that Dalvin doesn't like speaking to the media necessarily, not that he hates it, and he's very good at it. Like, that's what I'm trying to prove, but he doesn't do it that often. He should do it more. He should do it more. Like, every time he gets in front of the media, people talk about it, and it's not like, oh, you know, Dalvin Cook is asking for money or he's begging or he's this. It's all positive. It's always like, when are the Vikings going to pay Dalvin Cook? Like, here are his, like, you can listen to him yesterday. He said his most divisive comment so far throughout this whole process. And it was, when you play really well, you hope to get rewarded. And I just hope that the Vikings and my agent can come to terms soon. Like, that is the meanest thing he said in this whole situation. Like, I don't know. I just, if you're going to pay anybody, it's got to be Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, for sure. We've been talking about it all offseason.
We're still here.
This week we are brought to you by DoorDash. So you've counted on restaurants and now they're counting on you. And while their dining rooms may be closed, they're still open for delivery with DoorDash. So DoorDash is the app that brings you the food you're craving right to your door. Ordering is easy. All you do is open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. Choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. I'm not sure whose favorite restaurants those are, but they might be somebody's. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery, too. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local spot, and your food is on its way. So right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the code BLUEWIRE, which is all one word. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter the code BLUEWIRE. Don't forget, that's code BLUEWIRE for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. All right. The 2020 season is here for the Vikings, so that means it's time to make some predictions. I don't know if you were like me growing up, where you would get the NFL preview edition of Sports Illustrated and just read it, you know, cover to cover. That might have been like one of the few things I read. I have never been a book reader, so that's probably like one of the largest things I would ever read all year long is just the NFL preview issue of Sports Illustrated. I know it's not what it used to be, but like back in the day, it used to be like 300 pages.
Yep.
So that's one thing I always used to enjoy.
I skimmed through it.
You looked at, like, the pictures and read the captions?
I was a guy who, like, I was very interested in the NFC North, mm-hmm. like, or the Central when it was a Central. And, like, I might read everything about those teams, but, like, just like we do now, you know, I want to know what teams are good at, what they're not good at, you know. But we have so much more information now, like, year round. But back then it was like, when you picked up those types of magazines, that was the information that you had. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of times you didn't even know, like, if it was a big trade or a big free agency pickup, obviously you knew about it, but unless you're picking up like the Star Tribune or something like that every single day and reading it cover to cover, you probably don't know who the Green Bay Packers picked up or who they traded for, or these little dinky things that happen, who they drafted that looks like they could be doing something. And so when you got those magazines, it was like the first time that you really got an idea of how competitive, like, your team was going to be a lot of times, or who you were going to be competing with. You knew how good your team was. Like, and you know, when we went into 99, obviously, like, we knew that the Vikings were going to be good or should be good after the 98 season, but you never knew, like, always how good those other teams were. So, I didn't read it cover to cover. I was more of a glancer, like, who do they think is going to win this division? Who is in the AFC could go to the Super Bowl? Who are the contenders? Who are the pretenders? That sort of thing, but not cover to cover. The only thing I ever read cover to cover back then was Harry Potter.
And now people turn to people like you and I for these predictions. So,
yeah, that's what I would do.
Yeah. I don't know why. I'm going to put you on the spot.
Okay.
Just, ask you what you think the Vikings record's going to be this year.
It makes me nervous. I have like a really good, like, what I think could happen.
Best
if
best case and worst case.
Yeah, like, I have a best case and worst case. The worst case, and it also has to do with the rest of the division. Like, in my worst case scenario, Detroit is better than expected. Trubisky gets back to like a little bit below average instead of terrible. The Vikings secondary isn't what we had hoped. The offensive line is still terrible. You know, Danielle Hunter's injury drags on. Like, in that world, and you know, Aaron Rodgers comes back on his revenge tour and doesn't care who any of his wide receivers are. He just lights up, makes wide receivers out of clay, and then throws to them, and they score touchdowns. That is worst-case scenario. In that scenario, like, Vikings win, like, five games, and it's a complete blow-up of a season.
Mike Zimmer gets fired.
Mike Zimmer gets fired. We move on from Spielman. Like, it's all bad. But I don't see it getting that bad. Thankfully. Best case, the secondary is better than it was last year. And Kirk Cousins takes another step forward. We don't miss Diggs that much. Jefferson is, I'd say at this point, better than expected, because he just doesn't have a lot of hype surrounding him right now, being especially he was listed as a third receiver on the depth chart. Not that I really think that even matters, but just it seems like, to matter
like
with
Manny Moss.
Yeah, it seems to matter with this hype train, though. So in a world where things go really well, I think the Vikings get 11 wins, especially depending. A lot of it depends on the Packers. Like, you know, and I know that we're going to talk more about them so we can get into what their, you know, strengths, weaknesses, that sort of thing is. But a lot of it depends on how good they are. And if they come back to the pack after a 13-3 season last year, I don't really expect the Bears and Lions to be anything more than like a pain in the ass. Like when you play them in Chicago, they're good enough to beat you in Chicago. The Lions are good enough. If Matthew Stafford comes in on a good day and lights you up, you can be in trouble. So I would say 9 or 10 wins. I'm going to be boring. 9-10 wins, somewhere in there. And fighting for the playoffs until the very end, because I don't necessarily think anybody's running away with the North this year.
Well, I did my predictions last night up on the Viking Age, and I came away I'm looking back at it maybe extremely optimistic. I have the Vikings finishing 12-4.
Wow. Paul Allen over here
fighting for the top seed in the NFC, not getting it. That I believe will go to the Cowboys. And the NFC with Mike McCarthy.
So what plays into this?
I just think the not having a crowd factor is gonna like positively impact Kirk Cousins.
Wow.
More than people think. I think he gets flustered, I feel like, easily by something like that, like crowd noise. And you take that away and his focus is just, I feel like he'll have like a laser focus now. And, a lot of the games the Vikings are playing, obviously they're playing 8 games indoors, but they play a bunch more as well. They play the Saints. Obviously they play the Lions. And then to end the year, I believe their last like cold weather game is in early November against the Bears. And then all the other ones are either indoors or in Florida. So their schedule sets up pretty nicely. And then in the playoffs, I have the Vikings making the Super Bowl.
Wow. That would be an all-time Vikings thing to happen for us to win it this year when everybody's like worried about going and parading.
Right. I didn't say they'd win it. Actually, I had them losing to the Steelers in the Super Bowl. You can consider me optimistic, but I just and this season I feel like is so unpredictable with every single team, because just don't know what to expect with the lack of practice time. You know, how much of an impact will new guys have? I think the Vikings have an advantage with their returning coaching staff and a bunch of their returning top players. A lot of them were with the team last year. So, it's just gonna be, you could have like a weird Super Bowl, like the Raiders and Panthers in the Super Bowl or something this year. Like, that's how weird this year could be, or it could just be the Chiefs and Saints or something, you know. easy like that, where it's just all the teams that were good last year are just going to be good again this year, because there wasn't the teams didn't have the ability to, you know, go through much change or figure out what they're good at before the start of the season. So the season's going to be weird. It's probably going to take a little bit for us to realize who's good. And I don't even know if the Chiefs are going to, they're playing tonight against the Texans. I know the Chiefs are good. They're probably going to be good. But if they lose tonight, I wouldn't be surprised either. It's going to be weird. So if it's going to be weird, it's going to be the Vikings getting to the Super Bowl.
That would definitely, that'd be getting weird. All right, for sure. I think one part of this season that I think it's very possible that this is being overlooked, partly on purpose and partly just because people aren't really going to think about it in this way, but like the whole social justice and locker room chemistry and breakdown, I think that it would never be reported, especially in the NBA. But let's remember what happened with the Milwaukee Bucks. They protested, they held out, you know, they said they canceled their game and said they weren't going to play. So there was a lot going on in those locker rooms, and the locker rooms that did that, especially the ones that did it first, it was heated in those locker rooms. Mm-hmm. The conversation was reportedly honest and it was upfront and in your face. They're already talking right now about about what the Chiefs and Texans are going to do tonight, for social justice causes. So football is a much, 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 much more diverse locker room than basketball.
Yeah.
So I just can't imagine that finish my Milwaukee Bucks point, they lost out in the first round. Like, they were expected to go all the way. A lot of people picked them to win the whole thing, and they lost to the Miami Heat in, like, I think 5 games, and they only won a game that didn't have Giannis in it. So it was, again, when we're talking about things that are weird, and, you know, I don't know how to feel about the Vikings because they have been one of the teams that have been leading this whole thing. So does that rub some people in the locker room the wrong way? I mean, we're talking about a lot of, like, there's a lot of corn-fed, like, white Midwestern kids that are in the NFL. Yeah. And so are some of these things rubbing some people the wrong way and we would never hear about it? Are there things going on inside of locker rooms that would never be reported on because it's just considered too personal and they wouldn't want to, like, be that reporter who's leaking that sort of stuff? Would the reporters even know about it given the access that they have right now? So I'm not saying the Vikings will be the team that struggles with this, but when all is said and done, even if it's a year from now or 3 months after the season's over that we start to hear about this stuff, but there are going to be locker rooms that are affected by the social justice causes and the voices that are going on within their own four walls. And that could be a weird thing that a lot of people aren't talking about that could just throw a team, like, let's say the Chiefs, and I don't know anything about the Chiefs, right? I don't know anything about, but a team that's expected to be really, really, really good, right? Like, if there could be, just like with Milwaukee, and we don't even know that that's what caused Milwaukee, but to me, it's the only thing that's as blatantly, like, weird about their season that would cause them to lose in the first round of the playoffs.
But didn't the rest of the NBA, didn't they all boycott their games?
Well, they did, but Milwaukee did it first.
Yeah.
And it was reported that a lot of teams were even mad at Milwaukee for doing it without talking to them first.
Right.
And it was also reported that they didn't decide to do it until they walked into the locker room that day.
Yeah.
To play. So you know that there was a lot of there had to have been heated discussions. Like, you don't just can't, like, that's never happened before.
Right.
Like, you don't just do that, like, without having people on both sides of the equation. And now that team is a team that loses out when 8 seeds don't beat 1 seeds. Like, 1 seeds don't lose in the NBA. High seeds do not lose in the NBA. They just don't, but they did. And it wasn't even close this year. So I'm not, there's no, from what I've seen, there's nothing reported that that's what was causing issues in the locker room. But to me, common sense would say there was definitely things going on in that locker room beyond basketball. And yeah, we hear how important focus is in these games and how important details are. And so it would shock me if that didn't have something to do with their downfall. And it would also surprise me if it doesn't cause a downfall in one or two or some teams across the league, where it messes with chemistry. Like, defensive linemen, offensive linemen, quarterbacks, and wide receivers. Like, people have to work together in football more than any other sport. You depend on a team. Like, if one of those cogs goes out, if somebody doesn't have their mind in the game, if there's a locker room squabble that's going on that people don't know about, like, especially something that runs that deep, like, these are normal people. If there's one thing that I learned covering the Gophers in person, it's that these are people that are affected by normal emotions every single day of their lives. And if we're all affected by what's going on right now. So, and these people are getting more into it than the normal person. They're taking knees. They're talking about it. What are we going to do? Social justice committees. It is up in front of their locker room more so than it is with us as normal, regular people. So if there's people who don't agree with it, it's just, you can't tell me that there isn't locker rooms that are colliding over this at least a little bit. Like, all it takes on Twitter is for one person to mention one thing and it's a screaming fest. Like, it's just so easy to push buttons nowadays. That will intrigue me, to be honest.
Yeah, when there's that many people, there's what, like 2,000 players in the NFL, you're obviously going to have differing opinions.
And there's, I think, 60 different players in a locker room.
Yeah, and I think you can even just look at the whole COVID-19 situation going on right now, and you can look at the Vikings and look at someone like Kirk Cousins and,
right,
and his recent comments, you know, about, you know, not thinking that he'll be affected by the virus, or if he does, and if he dies, you know, because he's Ivan Drago.
Coronavirus. What if a guy's not wearing masks all the time or talks about how he doesn't like wearing masks? Great point.
You have someone like Kirk Cousins in the locker room with that train of thought, but then you have someone like Eric Kendricks, who has had a family member die of, you know, COVID-19
right,
related causes, and then you have Michael Pierce, who opted out,
mm-hmm,
in the same locker room. So you already have that, you know, imbalance of opinions. But at the same
time, just a lot happening inside of locker rooms.
A lot, you know, there's social justice stuff, there's, you know, coronavirus stuff, there's everyday life stuff,
mm-hmm,
just having a different opinion on a bunch of subjects. So I think the Vikings, for this, the fact that they have a lot of the same players that they've had in their locker room.
Mm-hmm.
I know they lost a bunch of, like, Everson Griffin and Linval Joseph, but they have guys like Kyle Rudolph and Adam Thielen.
And good leadership.
Yeah.
From top to bottom.
Yep. And Harrison Smith and Mike Zimmer. He's not gonna let things get out of hand in the locker room.
Right.
He's not going to let guys, you know, slash the throats of stuffed animals anymore,
right,
like he did in the beginning.
Exactly.
So I think the Vikings have an advantage in that, where other teams, maybe a team with a new coach might not have that ability, or a team maybe like the Cowboys, whose owner isn't quiet about his feelings about anything going on in the world right now.
Right.
Maybe some of his players would have a problem with his feelings, and things would get out of hand there. So,
but then again, Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott were
partying,
all hanging out and partying during coronavirus anyway, so maybe they all feel the same.
Didn't he test positive or whatever? Or?
At some point, yeah. He was like one of the first people reported, and then they.
So there's a lot going on. This year, like we said, is probably going to be weird. So if it's going to be weird, might as well have the Vikings in the Super Bowl. So
I agree.
Those are our predictions. Obviously, I'm a little more optimistic than Eric. Maybe it's because I'm not from Minnesota, so you know my pessimism isn't as high as a Minnesota sports fan.
I need to see a game first. I need to see him play. Like I need to see how Kirk Cousins looks, how our offensive line looks.
Sure. Like I think the lowest
I need to see.
I think like my worst case scenario is the Vikings just going like 7-9. I don't think they're gonna have they could have a complete just meltdown unless Kirk Cousins gets hurt or something and Sean Mannion has to play, because the Vikings for some reason are just in love with Sean Mannion being their number two quarterback, and if Kirk Cousins goes down, then they're screwed.
So. Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's very unlikely that they have just a season where everything tanks. But at the same time, they're just not very deep right now. Like, we have to remember that the Vikings are retooling kind of like on the go, and they've done a pretty good job of it. But at right now, because they're kind of in that transition mode, they just haven't been able to build a lot of depth because they're kind of in transition right now. Their top three corners gone. Like that doesn't happen on very many teams. And that we should have, I mean, honestly, I think the plan was for Anthony Harris to be gone too. But it just didn't work out that way. And that goes into partly why I think Dalvin Cook didn't get his contract extension. So
luckily he didn't though, because with all the inexperience they have.
But that's what I mean. Like, I think they knew that inexperience was coming. Yeah. But they were still looking for a way to swap out Harris and save a little money. But because they didn't really find that, it didn't really present itself, then they ended up having to keep Harris. But they kind of strung Harris along, waiting to see if they could replace him, because they knew if they weren't going to be able to replace him, then they couldn't afford to lose him. And that's just kind of how it ended up working out. And so here we are. But because of that, Dalvin Cook didn't get his deal, where, you know, we would have been possibly thin on the outside because we grabbed Michael Pierce. But because Michael Pierce opted out, then we spent the little extra money we did to bulk up our outside of the defensive line, but we didn't get anybody on the offensive line. You know, like, does Eric Wilson, how much does he improve? And if Eric Wilson can improve enough, does that allow Anthony Barr to be better? Like, when do we get to stop blaming Anthony Barr's problems on Mike Zimmer? Like, never. Like, it's never Anthony Barr. It's always Mike Zimmer's scheme. Well, if Eric Wilson can get better and do a lot of the miscellaneous things that you don't see on the score sheet, that we're told Barr does, then does that allow Barr to be more creative? Does that allow him to blitz Barr more often? Like, Those are all things. But then again, that goes into the secondary. So you can just so quickly go down this rabbit hole. Like, I need to see games. Like, give me Sunday, please.
You're reeling from there being no preseason. You just need something.
I am. I need something. Like, I need to see it with my eyes before I start spewing what's going to happen.
Yeah. So the season should be fun. We are also brought to you by Sunday NFL ticket from DirecTV. So Sundays are coming back in the NFL finally this week with NFL Sunday ticket.tv. You can stream every live out of market NFL game every Sunday afternoon on your favorite devices, plus the Red Zone and DirecTV Fantasy Zone channels, so you never miss your favorite teams and favorite players. No matter where you live, NFL Sunday ticket.tv is your key to the most glorious Sundays ever. Use the promo code BLUEWIRE, all one word, at checkout to get 15% off your subscription. Visit NFLSundayTicket.tv and use promo code BLUEWIRE. All right. So, week one, Vikings and Packers inside a empty U.S. Bank Stadium. Of course, by the time the Vikings head to Green Bay and play the Packers, there's a chance that there could be fans in the stands. So obviously it would conveniently work out that way for Packers to have fans in their stands when the Vikings come to town on November 1st. Compared to this week when there'll be no fans and we're just going to have some like white noise or whatever playing in the background. I believe
70 decibels. Yep. Arif, or it was Arif Hassan and I think Graf, I think they co-authored something on The Athletic that said that 70 decibels, like after a quick Google search, is comparable to like a hairdryer. So like if you turn on a hairdryer in your bathroom, that would be what 70 decibels sounds like. Arif Hassan also said that he found it almost oddly normal. Like, so what happens, I don't know if you looked into it, but the NFL sent a tape specific to all 32 teams and said, this is what you will play the entire game. But you can't ever play it above 70 decibels. So you're just supposed to play it at 70 decibels for the whole game. And then there are little cues for like touchdowns and things of that nature. But essentially it sounds like white crowd noise. Arif said it was the same thing that was on when they were doing the practice scrimmage. Right. And he said it sounds oddly similar to like if you were looking down at your paper and like writing or at your computer and you were typing. And then you look up, obviously, and there's nobody there. But he says, like, it was oddly, like, good. Like, which Arif, if you've ever read him, like, if it wasn't, he would call it out.
Oh, yeah.
So for him to say that it kind of felt a little normal has me very intrigued to see what it sounds like on the broadcast and if it does sound anything close to normal.
Well, I don't think we're going to hear what the players are hearing on the field, because I think the TV stations are going to have their own, you know, fake crowd noise that they're using. I know at least Fox is doing that, and then Fox is going to have like the virtual crowd.
Are they? I thought the NFL wasn't allowing that. I thought the NFL said no to that.
To what? The virtual crowd?
To like virtual crowds and virtual like advertisements. Like there were some, you know.
I don't know about the ads, but I know they're trying out at least with one game this weekend. Fox is trying out virtual fans.
Okay, so we might not hear that. It'll be, well, we'll, okay.
So we'll see. I mean, we'll obviously hear it in the, maybe like the highlight videos or whatever, the mic'd up or whatever. So we'll get a chance to maybe hear that. But heading into Sunday, the Vikings are, according to most odds makers, they're favored by 2.5 points. Usually the home team gets like 3 points, but I'm not sure what sort of home field advantage the Vikings have other than you know, getting to sleep in their own bed and they're familiar with the stadium, but not all of them are because not all of them were starters. They're going to face a Packers team who was 13-3 last year, maybe the most overrated 13-3 team ever in NFL history. They made it to the NFC Championship. Aaron Rodgers coming to town. You know, they still have Aaron Jones. They didn't add a whole lot this offseason. They added, let's see, Rick Wagner.
Yeah.
As an offensive
Who they're hoping isn't going to start for them, because they're hoping that it's that Billy Turner who's questionable right now. So we had Packers beat writer for ESPN, Domofsky, on Wake Up Minnesota, a podcast that we do at minnesotasportsfan.com with Steven Strom.
Shameless plug.
And he was on there this morning and said that essentially Billy Turner is
from Minnesota,
a converted guard. He was their right guard last year, and he was average to above average, according to Domofsky. And then they're transitioning him to right tackle, and a lot of people are just kind of assuming that he's going to be pretty good there, but Domofsky isn't. That sounds
familiar with the offensive
He's very nervous about him at right tackle. And then if he is hurt, which he's questionable, then Rick Wagner is... Essentially, he lost the job in camp to Turner. But your guy over at FanSided, Samson, said that he had a good camp from what I read from him this morning. So, what, but from what I've seen, it's that, that right side of the offensive line is iffy. But they also have on defense, they drafted Christian Kirksey, who they're hoping can help with their
They didn't draft him. He came over from the Browns.
Came over from the Browns. Sorry, but well, they brought
the NFL. You wouldn't have.
I don't know the NFL. We've already established this. So Kirksey, they're hoping will be able to help their run game, their run defense, which is terrible. But outside of that, they don't have much. Well, and then Dylan, but A.J. Dillon might not even get that many reps with Aaron Jones at running back. So
Jordan Love, he's going to be the starter soon. So,
yeah, well, yeah, you know, a couple years down the road, they hope, because that's why you draft people in the first round these days.
Or weeks, you know, maybe Matt LaFleur is like, you know what, fine, Aaron Rodgers, you're annoying me. I'm going to put Jordan Love in.
Yeah,
hopefully that happens.
Dude, if that happens, I just really hope that Aaron Rodgers is bad enough to have calls for Jordan Love. That would really make my day.
The thing is, Aaron Rodgers wouldn't be bad. He would just maybe like defy Matt LaFleur and like nix the play calls that are coming in and be like, no, we're going to run.
Switch them.
Yeah.
Switch them to passing plays.
LaFleur seems, his name is just stupid, LaFleur. He seems like the kind of person that would get mad with someone not doing the things the way he wants them done, no matter if they're successful or not successful. So
I still don't understand the coaching hire in general. Like, why do you hire a coach who doesn't?
Because he was with Sean McVay. That's pretty much the only reason why. That's the only reason I can think of it. He was on the Redskins staff. I'm sorry, the Washington football team staff with Sean McVay and that offense. I think he might have been with the Rams for a year or two with McVay.
But they had to have known that he liked to run the ball so much. Like, I really like to run the ball. Great, we have Aaron Rodgers. What? I don't like that. That's this whole like a whole hire from the beginning doesn't make any fucking sense.
They don't know what to do. And speaking of like new additions, the Packers, one of the biggest new additions they have is a assistant coach. That's Jerry Gray, who used to be the secondary coach for the Vikings. Now he's with the Packers.
And to speak about your luck that you talked about, like Domofsky said that earlier. He's like, or he said that on the show too, that the Packers were like the luckiest team in the NFL last year. And like everything went their way. They had no injury issues other outside of Davante Adams for a little while, which they won the games where he didn't play. Yep. And that was about it. And then they had all sorts of games, which we know that that happens anyways, but the last year it was at an all time level.
Yeah. I think they were like 5-1 or 6-1 and like one score game, something like that.
Yeah.
So, at the same time, I don't really know what to expect out of this game. I'll just do it this way. You just give me a yes or no answer for this. Would you be surprised if it's a close game on Sunday?
No.
Would you be surprised if the Vikings won the blowout?
No.
Would you be surprised if the Packers won the blowout?
No.
Right. So we have no idea.
No, that's what I mean. We really don't. We're going to learn if this team is if both teams are what everybody expects. Like, we expect that the Packers have no receivers and that Aaron Rodgers will have to carry their passing game. We expect their running game to be good like it was last year. Same thing with the Vikings. Like, we expect their running game to be good and we expect them to force feed the ball to Dalvin Cook. Like, we expect the offensive line to be below average, and we hope that they can be average. Like, we expect that Zimmer will be able to raise up a secondary quickly, but we don't know any of these things. Like, for example, the Packers secondary is a perfect example. Like, the Packers are hoping their secondary is a strength of this team. They are hoping, but they're pretty sure that their rushing prowess will help their secondary because they're going to be able to, their pass rush, because they're going to be able to get, they hope, a lot of pressure on the quarterback. But would it shock anybody if if the Vikings come in with a game plan that the Packers don't expect and they don't get that pass rush that they were hoping to get, that wouldn't shock me. Would it shock you if that happened, but then the Packers rebounded and end up having a great pass rush the rest of this year? No, it wouldn't, because they don't know what to expect. Like, if the Vikings or the Packers make the right tweaks that the other team aren't expecting, that they're not game planning for, that could win them the game in week one. It could win games in week two. Like, we don't really know what to expect from this season until what? Like week six? Yeah, maybe like week six we'll be able to say, I think we kind of know what the strengths and weaknesses of each team are. Yep. But until then, like, nobody has seen, reporters haven't seen as much football. The players themselves haven't seen as much football. The coaches, opponents' coaches, nobody has seen as much as we normally do. So until we start playing football games, there's just so many unknowns. But I guess if I were to say what this weekend will come down to, who can run the ball better? Like, both teams, like, the Packers are going to come in hoping to run the football. The Vikings are going to come in hoping to run the football. Who does it? Who does it successfully? Because there's questions in both passing games. So I think that that's big what comes down to.
Yeah, I remember the last time they met, last year in U.S. Bank Stadium, Dalvin Cook was out. And so was Alexander Mattison. So it was Mike Boone that was starting. And that kind of just threw everything out. And then in their first meeting, when the Vikings, they went down, what, like 21-0? It was Dalvin Cook, and, you know, his long touchdown that kind of sparked the Vikings coming back into it. So I think he's going to be, obviously we already knew he's going to be a big factor, but he'll be an even bigger factor just because he wasn't in, you know, the game, the second game last year, and it had a big effect on the Vikings, and it basically made them one-dimensional, which allowed the Packers to utilize their pass rush and just make life difficult for Kirk Cousins all day long. So I'm just going to ask you, what's your, you don't have to give me a score or anything, but, you know, what's your prediction? Do you think the Vikings will come out of this with a win or a loss?
My heart wants to say a win, but what makes me nervous is, with so many unknowns, like, I think about on offense, we have to game plan for what we expect to be a great running attack. And then, but you can't just plan for that because they have Aaron Rodgers. As much as I love Kirk Cousins, they aren't going into this game going, we really need to stop the run. But if we stop the run, how are we going to stop Kirk Cousins? So that makes me nervous. That because there's so many unknowns and we don't know what to expect on either side, I'm shocked that this is, like, the Vikings are favored by like 2.5 points. And I know that we're a home team, but does that matter this year? Mm. Like, if I wasn't a Vikings fan and, like, lifetime Vikings fan, I'm probably nailing the Packers in Vegas right now. I'm probably putting all my money on the Packers and taking the points because there's just a lot going on. And I don't know what's going to happen. The Vikings could win in a blowout, but without knowing anything, I can't say that the Packers are going to win on this podcast. It just sounds like, it sounds gross just coming out. Vikings win in overtime.
Ooh, overtime.
Yep.
What, like on a field goal?
Yeah, on a field goal.
There you go.
Our standalone part of the team that we're not worried about going into 2020.
So weird. It's already weird because the Vikings are not, they're not worried about the kicker.
I know. So yeah, Dan Bailey, overtime field goal win.
I'm just going to keep it simple. I think the Vikings will win too. I do think it'll be close. But Mike Zimmer's shown in the past that he's pretty good at containing Aaron Rodgers. They just have to figure out a way to, you know, stop their rushing attack. And like you said, Devontae Adams, he's like their only receiver. So I'm sure Mike Zimmer has been working all summer to figure out a new strategy to stop Devontae Adams. Xavier Rhodes won't be on the field this year, so he won't have to. Mike Zimmer won't have to worry about him messing up or coming up short with an injury because he got beat. So I think the Vikings will pull out a win, start 1-0, and we'll start getting the plans ready for a Super Bowl parade after this weekend.
If that happens, by the way, I don't care. Like, they're going to have to arrest me to get me not to be, like, downtown partying. So
I think
bring on the bring on the COVID.
I think you will be one of many.
Yes.
So that's going to do it for us. Make sure to follow podcasts on Twitter at Bleeding Podcast and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, iHeart, wherever you do. But until next time, we will talk to you later.
Bye, fam.
Sports are coming back, and so are your chances to bet on your favorite teams and events. Major League Baseball is back in action, and there's no better place to start wagering than our exclusive partners, BetOnline. Check out all the odds, futures, and props to bet on, all available 24/7. And with the return of sports, BetOnline sat down with former pro athletes Eddie George, Harold Reynolds, and seven-time NBA champion Robert Ori. See what they had to say on what it'll be like to play without fans in a series they're calling Fandemic. So visit betonline.ag for all your odds and up-to-date sports news, and remember to use the promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your new welcome bonus. That's promo code BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online wagering experts.